Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
There's only one right way to live life, and that's God's way. He's the author, the creator, and the designer. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we study how to overcome 10 of life's greatest challenges. That's next on Daily in the Word. Stay with us. God designed and created life. He knew what our struggles would be, and He knew how desperately we would need Him as our Savior. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study how to overcome life's greatest challenges. We're looking at Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to study the Ten Commandments. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday. We hope you'll join us for every step of this series. If you have missed a portion of this series or would like to hear recent broadcasts, don't forget you can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You can also subscribe for free to the Daily in the Word podcast and take this program with you on your phone or iPod or personal computer. Once again, you can find all of this and much, much more at dailyintheword.org. Today, we're looking at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16 as we study how to keep truth. Here's Paul Chappell.
And so Sam goes to work on Monday and he finds Joe and he says to Joe, "Hey, watch out for Heather, and whatever you do, don't trust Heather." All of a sudden, Joe is treating Heather differently. Heather doesn't really know why. She feels badly. And the worst part is that Sam never went to Heather to make resolution of the situation. He just went to Joe. Now, I'm going to tell you, my friend, whether that's at your workplace by the water cooler or whether that's in your neighborhood or even at a church, it never feels good to have someone playing those word games. You might say all day long, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." And that's a lie. And people every day have their hearts hurt because of those who insist on speaking falsely, whether on their internet or face to face. Then there are those that are just involved in malicious accusation. I mean, they just thrive on this. They just literally thrive on accusing and saying things, normally not to the face of a person, but just around and about. Then there are those that are involved in outright slander. Slander is when we intentionally tell a falsehood with an intention to harm someone's reputation. That's the whole idea. We're going to say something to harm someone's reputation. Proverbs 12:17 says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit." Now, this was common in the Bible. I think about Joseph, a godly and an upright man, and Potiphar's wife in the land of Egypt grabbed him by the coat and tried to seduce him sexually. And Joseph ran away and left his coat in her hand. She turned around, took the coat, showed it to her husband and said, "Joseph tried to rape me." And we see in that situation an attempt to slander the life of Joseph. We think of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a fiery preacher, to say the least. John the Baptist preached one day about Herod living in adultery. And he pointed his finger in the face of the king and preached against his sin. And for that he was placed in prison as a rebel rouser and ultimately beheaded because he would not compromise his message. But I think above those of the Lord Jesus himself. You know, Jesus Christ was often slandered. And I want you to notice in your notes, Luke 7:34. The Bible says, "The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, Behold a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." Now here we see the Lord Jesus Christ being called a winebibber, being called a gluttonous man. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. And what always interests me in the New Testament about those that slandered Jesus, it was always the religious crowd. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were incensed by Jesus' popularity. They wished he would go away. They didn't want him to attract these crowds. And so they slandered him in this way. D. James Kennedy says, "Slander is often the product of envy. When we are jealous of others' popularity, his success or capabilities, we sometimes slander them in an attempt to make ourselves look good." And I'm going to tell you, I've lived long enough to see it in the business world, to see it in the military world, to see it in the ministry world. I don't care where it happens. It is especially wrong when God's people are involved in taking someone's life into their hands in that way. And by the way, let me ask you this question this morning. Are you the type of person that people feel comfortable bringing that news to? Are you the type of person someone thinks they can send an email or come to with their slander or their evil tongue about someone else? I learned a long time ago that people don't dump garbage on green lawns. If your life is taken care of, if your life is clean and right, no one's going to dump on you. And you ought to live your life in such a way that people know if they come to you with junk about someone else, you're either going to turn them away or take them to that person and make it right the biblical way. They ought to know that that's the way you handle those things. Proverbs 20:19, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore," notice this please, "meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." Don't even mess around with that type of situation. Well, there are those who resist spiritual truth. There are those who reject personal truth. There are those who rearrange the truth. And then finally, notice this, there are those who ruin lives by rejecting the truth. Literally, people's lives, people's marriages have been hurt or ruined by this type of activity. Notice what it says, James 3:5. "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Isn't that something? The Bible calls the tongue a fire. And I believe this, Christian friends. I believe that we are either starting fires like an arsonist or putting them out like a firefighter. As a mature believer, that we're putting the fires out, not starting the fires. I heard about four preachers that gathered for a meeting, and they were just there having some fellowship. And one of them said, "You know," he said, "people come to us, they pour their hearts out, they have all these problems they tell us about and so forth." He said, "You know, really, confession is good for the soul. Why don't we just kind of just be vulnerable here with one another for a moment and just kind of share some things that maybe we can pray with each other about these things?" And so he suggested that they do this, and they were a little reluctant at first, but finally one preacher said, "Well," he said, "I'll tell you, I am struggling in one area." He said, not too long ago, he said, "I went to a movie that no Christian should go to. I should have never seen that, and it was wrong." And the second fellow said, "Yeah," he said, "not long ago," he said, "I smoked a cigar. I shouldn't have done it, but I did." And third guy said, "Yeah," he said, "I've been playing cards and trying to learn how to gamble." And finally they came back around to the fourth guy. And they said, "Now, all right, what's your sin? Go ahead, we shared. Go ahead, your turn now." And he said, "Well," he said, "really," he said, "mine is gossiping, and I can't wait to get out of here." You ever had a friend like that? Now, I want to tell you something, friends, this morning. That type of action with those who reject the truth, with those who rearrange the truth, with those who resist the truth, I'm going to tell you, that can be difficult when that happens in your life. So let me give you four ways to preserve a relationship that's been hurt by gossip. Maybe someone said something about your marriage. Maybe they've said something about your children. Just four quick things that I've tried to practice and that I trust will be a help to you. Number one, pray for the one who gossiped. Pray for them. Say, "I don't want to pray for them. I don't even want to say their name." That's why you need to pray for them. I believe it was Leonard Ravenhill who said, "We never pray for folks we gossip about, and we never gossip about the folks for whom we pray." We never pray for those whom we gossip about, and we never gossip about the folks for whom we pray. Pray for them. Secondly, speak kindly to them. So I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. You can't afford it. All right, just hold on to that piece of your mind. Just speak kindly to them. A soft answer turneth away wrath, right? Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth. Number three, be honest toward them. In other words, don't try to add to their lie with another lie, exaggerating the other way. Let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. Number four, forgive them. Just forgive them. Forgive them and let it go. You know, Proverbs 26:20 says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Isn't that amazing? Where there's no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. So where there is no wood, the fire goes out. So when we forgive them and get on with life, then we can see God at work again. I don't know about you folks, but I have a wife that I thank God for, and I want her to know without reservation my love for her. And I have four children I'm trying to help find God's will for their life. I have a congregation I'm serving and a community we're trying to share the gospel with, and missionaries we're supporting and students we're training. And there's just so much that God has given to us and so much good that can be done in this world, that to take time and throw logs on somebody's fire and give them the joy of having a little more hate in their heart, that's not why we are here on this earth. There's a lot of good that God has called us to do in this day, and we need to be busy doing it. Well, there are those that plot against the truth, primarily Satan himself. Then we see the pattern of truth rejectors. They like to spread every falsehood. And then I want you to notice, thirdly, though, the pathway to truth. The pathway to truth. Now, someone's here today and says, well, Pastor Chappell, I mean, there's so many religions and there's just so many different concepts about God and so much in the way of information is available today. How do I ever find the truth for this life? Well, I want you to know, my friend, this morning that God is truth, and He knows the truth about you and me, and He knows how to help us in this life to discover the truth that He has for us. Notice a few things about the pathway to truth. First of all, we can know the truth through the Scriptures. We can know the truth through the Scriptures. Now, the Bible is God's eternal truth. I know that's basic, but I want you to think about this for just a moment. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. And so when we're looking to find the truth, we're not looking in a catechism book. We're not looking in a song book. We're not looking in the Book of Mormon. We're not looking in some extra biblical revelation, but we're going to look to the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. Now, the Bible is our moral compass. It is our spiritual compass. You may be in a fog of religion. You may parachute out into this postmodern society and learn that this is just nothing more than a secularist concept all around you, and truth is being abolished and compromise of the wrong sort is being made. And you might wonder, where can I find the truth? Well, I challenge you today. Let the Bible be your compass that leads you into the truth. Notice what the Bible says here in 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now please remember this morning that we must not confuse the truth with our opinion. And we must not deny the existence of truth by relegating God's declarations to an opinion. Look here this morning. This is not God's opinion. This is God's truth. And how many of you have opinions about things? You say time does not permit. We all have opinions. We have opinions about toothpaste. We have opinions about all kinds of products. We have opinions about hamburgers. Well, that's, for me, not really opinion. That's more of truth. In-N-Out Burger, I mean, that's, you know. How could that be just an opinion? But we all have opinions, don't we? And the danger comes when we want to put our opinion right up there with Scripture. But a mature believer recognizes all of my opinions have to come under His Word. Because this is not a nice opinion book. This is the eternal Word of God. And it is a Word that does not fade away. Psalm 119, 138 says it this way, "Thy testimonies that Thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." Now, my friend, the power of satanic delusion is broken by the power of the Word of God. And this world is under a strong delusion today, and men and women are confused about the truth, and yet God's Word will break that delusion because the Bible says it is quick and powerful, and the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word will show you exactly what you need to know. And by the way, you may not always want to hear what God's Word says, but you need to hear what God's Word says. You might say, oh, I need a little more flowery kind of a church with a little more poetry and a little more rock music and a little less of the Ten Commandments, if you don't mind. Well, let me tell you something. If I go to the doctor and he does an x-ray and finds a little speck of cancer in my lung, I want the truth about that matter. I don't want a doctor going, "Ah, boy, you're doing good. See you later. See you next year." And I don't want preachers doing that with me. Oh, yeah, God bless you. Keep putting money in the plate and just live the way you're living. No, no. I think we need to know what God's Word says. God's Word is the truth. In fact, it's unchanging truth. The Bible says in Matthew 24:34, "Verily I say unto you, the generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." That's why George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." And I'm going to tell you something. Long before Google search and long before the internet and long before all these other things, America had some men who knew God and they knew the Bible and they figured out the right moral direction for this country. And how we thank God for that today, it's something worth living for and sacrificing for. But we know the truth through the Scriptures. And then let me say this finally. We know the truth through salvation. Through salvation. Now that's a big word. How does someone obtain salvation? We know the truth through salvation. Now, it's one thing to say, "I believe the Bible is God's truth." It's another thing to know the author lives in your heart. You know, when I was in Bible college, my wife would sometimes go up to her home in San Jose, California, and I would continue working maybe during the holidays, maybe over the summer, and she would write me the neatest letters. I mean, I would run to the mailbox. I would smell the perfume on the way. I'd open those letters up, and I just read every word of those letters that she sent to me. And I tell you, what was so special was not the paper and the ink. It was my relationship with the person who wrote those letters. I'll tell you why some people are C&E Christians. They don't know the author. Because when you get to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all of a sudden you want to know what He has to say. All of a sudden you want to grow in His wisdom. You see, men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. Men reject the Bible because it contradicts them. But when a man can humble himself to say, "You know what? Good, bad, or whatever, I just want to know what the Bible says. If I need to change, I'm willing to change." Then God can do something in your heart. Now let me tell you the truth about salvation. First of all, you can know this truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Look it. The way to a relationship with God is not through the Baptist church or the Catholic church or through catechism. It is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I say it again. Jesus, John 14:6, said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." So we can know the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. Secondly, the truth will make you free. Notice John 8:31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Someone says, free from what? Well, let's start with sin and the bondage of it. You see, God says, I want to set you free. God says, I want to forgive you. My blood was shed to pardon you from this sin. And when we receive Christ as our Savior, then we are forgiven. Romans 5:8 says it this way, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says that without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. And when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, and when the Roman soldiers put the nails through his hands and through his feet, when they placed the crown upon his head, the blood came flowing down from the body of Jesus that day. But Jesus Christ was not just another man. He was the God-man. He had been conceived of the Holy Ghost. He had lived a perfectly sinless life for 33 and a half years. And when the blood came flowing down, listen, it was not the blood from Adam's line. That was a fallen line. That was a sinful bloodline. Listen, when the blood of Jesus came flowing down, it was a heavenly, perfect blood that was shed for the sins of the entire world. And the Bible says that when we know that truth and when we receive Christ as our Savior, then we are set free from the condemnation of sin. Romans 5:1, there is therefore now no condemnation, the Bible says. There is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can know the truth, and the truth will set us free. But notice finally this morning, the truth must be received. Hey, you have strep throat, you've got a sinus infection. The truth is that this amoxicillin's going to knock it down, right? The truth is that this medicine's going to take care of you. What good is that medicine if you leave it in the jar? No good. God says, I can set you free. I can give you a home in heaven. I can forgive your sin, but you've got to receive this gift. Now look at one more verse as we close, John 3:16 through 18. Very familiar to some of you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Notice that. You are not saved through a church or a religion. It is through him that you are saved. But notice verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, if you believe on Christ, you're not condemned. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, he that has the Son has life, he that has not the Son of God has not life. If you believe on him, you're not condemned. But notice what it says there. If you believe not, you are condemned already. Now, my friend, this has nothing to do with Baptist or Presbyterian or whatever, what other label you want to mention. The simple question is this. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because if you have believed on him and put your total faith in him and trusted Christ as Savior, then you are not condemned. But if you have said, well, that's okay, but I'm going to try this other route, you're condemned already. But the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, you can do what Pilate did. You can walk out of here this morning and go, what is truth? I wash my hands of this. Who can really know what the truth is? Or you can hear the words of Jesus Christ who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Today, the truth about salvation is that it is found in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time to study the ninth commandment and also to hear about the truth of Jesus Christ. Speak to our hearts and help us to be honest before you.
You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying a series entitled Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. It's a verse-by-verse study of the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20. Friend, the most overarching truth of this study is that apart from God, we cannot overcome these struggles. These laws are impossible for us to keep in and of ourselves, which is why we so desperately need Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges, with its recent broadcast, and you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that number is 1-800-201-7748, or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.